Blog Talk Radio.
Kofi Kingston in, Asuka is out. This is the SmackDown report. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestling Radio's SmackDown report. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Okay, well, hello everyone. Welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.
Well, hopefully all of the issues are settled for the day and Blog Talk Radio will cooperate. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. This week's SmackDown was, by all means, at least a ratings success, as it gained one of the best ratings for SmackDown in a very, very, very long time. Message to the WWE is that we like storylines involving wrestlers we actually have some emotional attachment to or investment in. That should not be a hard concept. Dan did very well this week, really having three matches. One very surprising, unscheduled women's title defense. AJ Styles, of course, versus Kurt Angle in Kurt Angle's retirement tour. And then a sort of another unexpected match in which the New Day were forced to run a gauntlet in order to get their pal Kofi Kingston into WrestleMania. Now, we started off with the New Day coming out and doing exactly what we said they were going to do a couple of weeks ago, and that is threaten to quit. Vince McMahon was called out. Vince McMahon basically called their bluff and said, you're not going to quit. You already know you're not going to quit. Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan came out and said, let him quit. It doesn't really matter. There was bickering back and forth, and the long and the short of it is that the New Day were offered this deal. If Xavier Woods and Big E can run a gauntlet, a tag team gauntlet tonight, Kofi Kingston is in WrestleMania. Kofi is banned from ringside. And that's really the way SmackDown started out. Now, were we expecting more people to threaten to quit or more people to come to the aid of the New Day and back them up? Yeah, we were. And the fact that they didn't, at least until later on, really made this seem like an odd segment. It really did. When you have three guys who have been cornerstones of the tag team division for as long as the New Day has, 5+ years, threatening to quit, you'd think it would elicit a reaction from backstage workers, but that's not the way they had it written. So while the segment was okay and it had a little bit of flair to it, I think, you know, Vince does a good job at what he does. Daniel Bryan did a good job. Everyone did a good job. But it still held out that here we go again situation, whereas New Day says, well, okay, we're going to give this a shot. Again, Vince McMahon didn't say he was going to WrestleMania to fight the champion. He said he was going to WrestleMania. And a New Day apparently said that's good enough. Never once did it come out of Vince McMahon's mouth, Kofi Kingston will be fighting Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Now, he will be because they've already put up the graphic and everything. But just for purposes of clarity, Vince McMahon never said that. So at least the New Day could have said, now let's make this clear. He's going to WrestleMania to fight the champion, correct? They never really did that. Sounds a little bit odd, Mike. But all in all, it was an okay opening.
Right. Like you said, it was oddly written, but it was an okay opening. And, you know, and that, and we'll get to what happened during the Gauntlet in a while. But there's a particular part of the Gauntlet that I want to talk about at that point. So, yeah, it was oddly written, but it was okay. And like you said, I was expecting more people to come out and support them. But I was happy with it.
I guess, given what they decided they were going to do, that would have ruined it later on. But if you gave me the two choices, I'd have taken choice A. So, Todd, overall, a decent opening.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was not a bad opening. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty good opening right there when the New Day started off saying they were gonna, we made a decision, we're gonna quit, and next thing you know, Vince McMahon comes out, so like, we all know you're not quitting, and I know it, you're not quitting.
That's one part of it I didn't like. Vince McMahon acted like, meh, big deal. Now, everybody knows, given the AEW competition and other things, that Vince McMahon doesn't want to lose people right now. And Vince McMahon coming out with this attitude of, who cares? I don't even believe you're going to quit. Made a New Day look kind of dumb. But take it for what it's worth, and we'll move on. We had a segment backstage where basically some girl I've never seen before is interviewing Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch says, I have no idea why Charlotte Flair's even in this match. She's contributed nothing. She did get it. And she's the champion. And everyone knows why I'm in it. I won the Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah. But why is Charlotte Flair in this? The hell did she do? We then cut to Charlotte Flair's music, and Charlotte Flair is telling everybody, I'm going to show you why I'm in this. And Asuka is her opponent, and it's for the women's championship. Now, this is a surprise because that morning, WWE was advertising a fatal four-way to decide who Asuka's opponent was at WrestleMania. And it was Carmella, Naomi, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. And that was of that morning. So they dramatically changed the card on a whim. And they did more than change the card, didn't they? Because after a pretty long match and a pretty good match, 50% of which was during a commercial break, because that's how important the SmackDown Women's title is. Charlotte Flair wins. Wins clean. Taps Asuka out. Second time. And there's a lot of people left scratching their heads saying, what the hell just happened and why? Well, the first thing that ran through my mind is probably the same thing that ran through all of your minds, and that is Asuka's gone. She just did the job and said goodbye. Not putting up with this crap anymore. Still might be the reason. But from what I'm hearing, Vince McMahon's logic in changing the match was as follows. It's the most high-profile women's match in WWE history, being the closing match of WrestleMania. And he wanted all the belts in that match, so all of the attention is on that match, number one. Number two, and these are his supposed exact words, any one, including the four girls we are going to put in that fatal four-way, who the fans care about enough to go on to WrestleMania to fight Asuka in a championship match. So my question to Vince McMahon is, number one, that's true. What he said is absolutely correct. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Naomi, Carmella, Sonya Deville, or Mandy Rose. Nobody was going to care about that match. And with the WrestleMania card 17 matches long as it is, I guess they figured we'll just remove one. here's the now telling me and the fans that you are going to fire the refs. I hope that's what you're saying. Because if you're not, then my next question to you is, why is there not a woman built up to be a worthy challenger for Asuka when you had a year to do it? Why is not one of these women backstage built up to be a worthy contender for Asuka's title? Why does Asuka have to either go into WrestleMania to fight in a... I don't even think they're having a women's battle royal. If they are, it's a well-kept secret. I haven't heard anything about it. But if they are, will she be in it? Will she not be in it? Is she going to worm her way into the three-way somehow? Let's hope not. That's already convoluted enough. Tweeted a one-word tweet. And I realize she has trouble with the English language, so I'm not really sure what the one-word tweet really means. But her one-word tweet was over. That's it. I don't know what it means. Does it mean she put Charlotte over? Over? I don't know what the hell it means. I do know that while Mandy Rose and Carmella and Naomi took to Twitter to tweet some things, they kind of did it in character, but at the same time, you could tell they're not happy. If it goes their WrestleMania match, whichever one it was going to be, my presumption is going to be Mandy Rose. She basically tweeted, "You put your faith in the wrong blonde." Tweeted, "Well, as in, here we go again. You had a solid year to build up someone for Asuka. And even if you say, okay, well, wait a minute, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, we did that last minute. It wasn't that bad. 2-3 months to build up somebody, call up somebody. You had Lacey Evans there if you really wanted to push her. Instead, you just had her catwalking back and forth for weeks and weeks and weeks and months on end. You made no effort, zero effort, to build up anyone for Asuka, and that has to be on purpose, and that has to be on your shoulders. Bentley say, well, there's really no one the fans really care about enough to fight Asuka. What you're actually saying is, we failed. Not the fans failed. Don't put this on the fans. Well, the fans didn't take to this person or that person. You've given us no reason. Your writers have not done their job. So if you're telling me that a high-profile champion and a great worker like us can't find room for in WrestleMania. We got too many matches. Well, maybe Triple H and Batista should set their match. That's going to be a rest hold fest between a guy who hasn't been in the ring in years and years and years and years, and a guy who should have retired years ago. Maybe you should skip, if you're going to skip a championship match, maybe you should skip Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. We have seen that match 5 times on Raw. It's a Raw match. Fresh, it's not different, it's not new, it's not exciting, it's rehashed bullshit. There's always room for Triple H. There's always room for the McMahons. There's always room for everybody else. But now it's gotten to the point, there's not even room for your champions. That's outrageous. And I know they're going to say, well, there is room for the champion. She's in it. Charlotte Flair's in it. And she's the champion. Asuka's not the champion. Yeah, the reason she's not the champion is because you had no room for her at WrestleMania. So you had to pass the buck to someone already in a match for a championship. Now ask me the following question. Why would Charlotte Flair at this stage ever continue to want to be in this match? To do what? She has her belt. Are you going to unify him? If you're going to unify him, okay. But you're not saying that. Right now, it's only for Ronda Rousey's belt. So if it's only going to be for Ronda Rousey's belt, what the hell does Charlotte have to gain? Nothing. If she wins, does she get both belts? Are they then unified? We don't even know. And by the way, WrestleMania is Sunday. Next Sunday. And we don't even know. This is absurd. That's absurd. I don't know. Mike, to me, it smacks of Asuka being, you know, gone. I don't have any proof that that's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And frankly, Asuka is somewhat like Nakamura in the fact that she could go back to Japan and be the legend she is over there, and it wouldn't matter. Now, as far as things they could have done, I go all the way back to making the rule that the winners of the mixed match challenge would enter their respective Royal Rumbles at 30. You could have done so much with that with Carmella having her cycle up a little bit to be possibly the woman that would face would have faced somebody, you know, would have faced the either Charlotte or what's her name. So I mean, that's another way they're falling down on the job. They had a chance to do that, and they didn't do it.
Well, Mike, it's proof positive that they're writing on the fly by the seat of their pants, because the bottom line of the situation is, I don't care who it was. I don't care if you wanted to build up Dana Brooke. Build someone to fight her. You have all the chances in the world to do it. For God's sake. And then 2 weeks before WrestleMania, you scratch your ass and say, well, we don't really have anybody that the fans care about enough as a threat to Asuka to go into WrestleMania to make that match decent. So I know, let's take the belt completely off Asuka and punish her for the fact that we didn't do our job. I want to know who's going to take the blame. Not the fans. The fans have no reason to care about Mandy Rose. They have no reason to care about Sonya Deville. They've done fuck all the whole goddamn year. And you've taken Charlotte and you've taken Becky out of SmackDown to bring her to Raw because you had nobody over there that Ronda Rousey would fight that anybody would care about. Do you see how this is poison? You had to borrow Federation's brand or your Federation's brand to even pull off a good match, a Raw champion. And in doing that, you robbed the SmackDown champion. That's what you did. You could have built up something very big with Charlotte and Asuka, considering Charlotte tapped her out last WrestleMania. You could have built up a big revenge angle and just had Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. Why not? Why not? If you want to reverse it, Charlotte Flair had all the reason in the world to hate Ronda Rousey and vice versa. And Becky Lynch goes up against Asuka, but you already blew your load with that, right? You blew your load with both of those matches by putting them on other pay-per-views just to try to draw a little bit of interest because you had nobody on the bench. I don't understand this. And you make this mistake time and time and time and time again. And then you look around and say, wait a minute, who do we have here to fight so-and-so? You only have 1,000 wrestlers on your payroll. And you're looking around. Who fights Asuka? We didn't, we don't have a match, you say? That's a real toughie. That's a puzzler. Let's throw four women together. Now, they don't care about them four women. Screw it. Take the belt off her and put it on the girl in the main match. It's better. To hell with having two champions in separate matches. What the hell, man? Stinks to the high heavens. And that's proof you're not doing your job. So if that's the case, fire your writers. Because they were not looking out for your top stars and their feud going forward. They're not looking out for them. They're not writing for them. Their job is to write for your top people. Jesus, if you can't write for the top people, how the hell are you going to write for the bottom people? So it's a shocker, Todd, but I mean, in the long run, I don't see how this is good for the women's division, really.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it don't look good at all for the WWE women's division. Not just Raw, also SmackDown, too. And like you said, don't be surprised to see Nakamura leave as well, the way he's been getting treated, too. And
yeah.
You know, it's bad. It's bad over there in both divisions.
It's bad. And for fans who think, well, you're exaggerating this, how would you feel if SmackDown took a look around and said, well, wait a minute, we don't really have anybody to fight Daniel Bryan that anybody cares about? Ali got hurt. Kofi's a tag team guy. Forget it. We're just going to put Daniel Bryan in the match with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. You'd be like, well, what the hell, man? What the hell? You can't come up with somebody? Kofi Kingston, I want you to remember something. Kofi Kingston's an excellent wrestler, and it'll be an excellent match. But if he had not caught fire, the WWE would have their finger in their ass right now. They'd be relying on Kevin Owens, who they didn't even show this week, and whose big comeback has been a fizzle because they rushed him back to do nothing. If Kofi Kingston did not catch fire, we'd be staring down the barrel of something not good. And why? Because you built up nobody. Kevin Owens had to come back from, double knee surgery. And you were going to throw him in the WrestleMania match because at least you knew people cared about him. Because you had nobody else. Think about that. You had nobody else. You were going to go with a 205 Live guy who wasn't even your champion over there. If he was, it was brief. I don't think he ever was. That's who you were going to go with. And then he got hurt and you went to Kofi Kingston because you had nobody else. Oh, well, we'll go with Kevin Owens. He'll be back. We'll do a quick program with him. Why do you got to do a quick program with anybody? How come you didn't have other people waiting? You're lazy as hell. And this WrestleMania proves it. Let's just give them 17 or 18 matches, wear the hell out of them, and they're bound to like a couple of them. I'll take 8 matches that I really care about every one of them over 17 where I don't care about 14 of them. Pathetic. Before we get to the gauntlet match, of course, The Miz had a pretty good segment where Shane came out, did his typical heel interview, really got personal. Security out there in the form of Sanity and some security guards and one of the colognes and whoever else is left over in the dressing room that they have no idea what to do with. And The Miz beat them all up and tried to get his hands on Shane. It's an okay segment. They'll have a decent match. Done a good job in a very short period of time of making this match something that you want to see. All the credit for that goes to The Miz. A little bit to Shane. Not that much. And, of course, we have AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle. And they did what we said they should have done on Raw. And that is they had one of the WrestleMania guys interfere and in the form of Randy Orton taking out his opponent, AJ Styles, which is okay. You know, it gave Kurt Angle, actually it gives Kurt Angle the loss, but it gives Kurt Angle the loss because he hit AJ first. So it'd be a disqualification, but it's all okay. So we're not going to dwell too much on that. It is what it was. Let's talk about the gauntlet match. And the first people down is Anderson and Gallows, who literally could have went down to the ringside wearing signs saying, "We're gone. Thanks for the memories." That's what should have been on the back of their outfits. Thanks for the memories. They hit the ring and they were gone before you could blink your eye. That's not a sign of a team that's gone, goodbye, finished, kaput, see you later. I don't know what is. They put up a zero fight. Now, the thing about this gauntlet match is nobody knew who the hell was in it. We had no idea. We presumed it was all the tag teams on SmackDown, but we didn't know. Is it three? Is it five? Are they going to bring guys over from Raw? We, you know, how about the guys that can go both places, like Heavy Machinery or Aleister Black and Ricochet? We don't know. We have no idea. So the first part of the gauntlet, boring as hell, didn't matter. It was just see you later, Anderson and Gallows. Sheamus and Cesaro, this is probably the best overall segment. These guys have fought many times. They're always well suited to fight each other. They did a really good job. It went a long time. And the longer it went, the more I'm saying, wow, you know, who else is coming out here? Because they're going to do the same thing they did with Kofi, where it's how do you beat, you're beating the whole division in one night? You know, plenty of times you didn't beat Sheamus and Cesaro. And you're going to beat Anderson and Gallo, Sheamus and Cesaro, and I don't know how many other people, three other teams? Wow. But this was the actual segment that featured, in my opinion, the best overall wrestling, Mike. Sheamus and Cesaro always do a really good job with the New Day, and this was no exception.
Right, and that's the thing. You got two great tag teams, and we've said it before, it doesn't matter which two of the three New Day are in there. You're going to get a great match out of the, at least more than a passable match out of whichever two of the three New Day that are in there. It just so happened to be Big E and Xavier. I mean, even though Xavier is nothing more than a, seems to be nothing more than a manager, he's still a very, very good in-ring performer.
Oh, no question. You know, he's actually, yeah, I mean, they're all interchangeable, in my opinion. I mean, like you said, it really doesn't matter what combination you get. It's always still a good match. There's no weak link to the New Day. That's the thing. There's really no weak link. It doesn't matter which one combination out of the three combinations you could possibly get, whether it's Xavier and Big E or Kofi and Big E or Kofi and Xavier. It works. They left them laying. It was a bad scene, obviously. Looked awful. Looked like they were hurt. We had, of course, we had Nakamura and Rusev come out. What's the point? Those guys are just, when I see things like that, when I see talent wasted to the point where it really just, you throw your hands up in the air, then yeah. This is Nakamura. This was a guy in Rusev that the fans were eating out of the palm of his hands, buying Rusev Day t-shirts, everybody chanting Rusev Day. Last year at WrestleMania, you know, it was Rusev Mania. Man, did you do a great job of just booking him into the shitter. Terrible. So let's talk about the main thing, and that is the Usos come out. Big E's already been put through a table, looks hurt, and it's very obvious that there's no way that New Day's beating the Usos. That's not happening. We know they're not going to throw the Usos to the wolves like that. It's quite obvious that this is where the train leaves the tracks, so to speak. But the Usos decide that out of respect to Kofi and the New Day, they're just going to forfeit the match. They said, look, Kofi belongs in WrestleMania. We know he belongs in WrestleMania. Fans know he belongs in WrestleMania. This is bogus. We're not participating. We forfeit. Which got a huge pop. It's the right move. It's definitely the right move. And by the way, they were the only team in there that were faces, or at least quasi-faces. So that is the right move. Which caused Daniel Bryan to go berserk backstage, realizing there's only him and Eric Rowan left to try to quell off this threat. Now, I'm not 100% sure, and I know fans are going to maybe disagree with me. I'm not 100% sure I like this idea that Daniel Bryan is afraid of Kofi Kingston. Because he really, I understand he's pinned him once, but so Daniel Bryan's pinned him. And I'd rather it be that Daniel Bryan really, honestly, truly doesn't think Kofi's worthy more than I'm lying because I'm afraid of him. Because the payoff would be better. In other words, if Daniel Bryan said, if you want to put him in there, put him in there. It's not that I can't beat him. It's that this is not a high-profile WrestleMania match. This is not what I deserve. I deserve a huge name. Kofi Kingston is not a huge name. I don't care what you say. If this was a tag team match, maybe he's a huge name. He's not a huge name. And it's beneath your champion. Fight some guy who's just a tag team guy. That I would buy that more. Daniel Bryan going berserk and destroying the dressing room because, oh no, I have to fight Kofi when he willingly went to fight Brock Lesnar. Worries me a bit. Because it's a little bit unbelievable, Mike.
Right. This is not, you know, you look at what has been done with Brock Lesnar, and you go, you know, suplex, rinse, repeat, suplex, and all that crap, and I've done it to so-and-so, and I've done it to Roman Reigns, and I've done it to this other guy over here. Everybody I touch is beneath me that all I have to do is suplex and F5, and they're done. That's how he should be treating Kofi Kingston. You're beneath me. You're a tag team wrestler. Why are you here? You know?
Yeah, I think it would be a better premise to have Daniel Bryan say, look, you got a lucky win on me one time. It happened to be in a tag team match. You pinned me in another event. Big deal. The belt was never on the line. I wasn't even really trying as hard as I should. You're not a solo guy. How long has it been? 5, 6 years? You're not a solo guy. And this is not the WrestleMania match I should have. As their champion, I should have a match with a high-profile major star. Somebody please show me the WWE truck that has Kofi Kingston's face on it. Somebody please show me the pay-per-view that has Kofi Kingston's solo face on it. Somebody please show me the Kofi King until recently. There isn't any. And the reason there isn't any is because he's not a solo wrestler. He's a tag team guy. He's been a tag team guy for I don't know how long, and he's good at what he does. He's not a championship quality solo performer, and he's not the guy I want to fight at WrestleMania. That would have been a lot better. Then everything Kofi's doing is proving Daniel Bryan wrong. Well, I ran the gauntlet. I'm not a solo wrestler. How do I run the gauntlet? And then Bryan getting aggravated because now I'm stuck to fight a guy I truly think is beneath me. It's probably better than I'm afraid of Kofi Kingston, because if you're not afraid of Brock Lesnar, Todd, pretty hard if you're afraid of Kofi.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the ending was okay, but I just didn't care for it that much. The gauntlet match had ended.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not saying the gauntlet match wasn't good. I'm just saying that the premise that Daniel Bryan is afraid to some degree of Kofi Kingston feels a little ridiculous to me, because he wasn't afraid of Brock Lesnar. He went in and he fought Brock Lesnar, and he didn't say, oh, my God, I don't want to fight Brock Lesnar. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. He didn't do any of that. So I don't know why he's doing this with Kofi Kingston. It smells phony, and when something smells phony like that, I don't like it, because it's harder to buy into. I would have much rather seen him be upset because of the name recognition, that he's not a big enough name to fight. I'm the champion. I deserve a big name opponent that people are going to say, wow, what a match for the ages, you know? Anyway, Bryan and Eric Rowan counted out. Kofi Kingston's going to WrestleMania. Okay, well, listen, this is going to be a good match. There's no question about it. And it's probably one of the matches that the people are most vested in. But again, this is like a blind squirrel finding a nut. It's not something that the WWE had planned on. It's not something that the WWE had booked long-term. It's not something that the WWE writers had cleverly figured out to do. They fell into this. They stumbled and fell into a bucket of shit, and they came out smelling like a rose. So score one for the writers, who can now say, oh, no, we did a great job. No, you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. Because if Kofi didn't go over, and Kevin Owens couldn't really put on the match that you wanted, you had a very poor build-up planned. Very, very poor. You just got lucky. So, look, it is what it is. We'll talk a little bit more in depth about this in a minute, but I was contacted by someone who pointed me to a tweet that he wanted me to address, and I said I would, and that tweet came from Goldust, who apparently there were some rumors going around that Goldust was going to be released at WrestleMania. He's not really being used. And that there was some talk he would go to AEW to fight Cody, his own brother, at Double or Nothing, which would be a pretty big thing if that happened. And Goldust took to Twitter to basically say, and it's not the first time he said things like this, this is why I hate smart marks. My contract with the WWE is not up, and I'm blah, 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 and you people need to stop reporting nonsense and blah, 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 blah. This is why I hate the wrestling blogs and the wrestling shows. Dustin, listen very carefully. Entertainment venue has its reporters, TMZ and others, who report on stars, celebrities, athletes, actors, models, etc. Some of those reports turn out not to be true. It does not make you an idiot. It doesn't make you a smart mark. It makes you a person who followed up a bit on a story, and you're now squashing that story. Big deal. Big deal. This is why you hate people who report on your business. You should be kissing their ass that they're reporting on you at all. If your name is out there in the press at all, be thankful of it. What are you, an idiot? Everybody's a victim of this. Oh, so-and-so might be dating such-and-such, and she might be pregnant. Oh, no, that turned out not to be true. Well, what are those guys then? Are they smart marks, or are they just reporters following up a story? Sometimes things turn out not to be true. Now, if you continue to insist it's true, or you flat-out lie about it, then that's different. But having a bunch of people say, well, based on what we're seeing on Cody Rhodes' YouTube channel and the mention of the word gold all the time and all these little hints and your contract coming up, which we thought was a fact, and the fact that you have not been seen on television since Saudi Arabia of last year, it's fair to assume maybe there's something to this. How is that not fair to assume? Now, if someone says, I guarantee, I absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is what's happening, then they need to take the consequences for that, because that means that they are puffing and saying things that are not true. But if somebody says, reportedly, this is speculation, this could happen, that happens all the time. This guy might be traded to another team. This guy might be injured and setting out this week. Dustin, it happens constantly. And you don't go and tell the journalists who are covering your sport in any way, shape, or form that they're idiots or marks just because they do it. So, in other words, name one of the top football journalists. If he says, word is so-and-so may not re-sign his contract, and another team is looking at him, and that guy says, that's not true, I'm going to re-sign my contract. He doesn't say, you're a mark, you're an idiot, you're a fool. He just says, no, let me put the rumor to rest. I'm not doing that. How come wrestlers treat their fans like idiots? Because I'm getting really sick of it. I'm getting really, really sick of it. This is the only activity you can't report on. You can have TMZ Hollywood. You can have the people talking about the girls on the catwalk. You can have television blogs and reporters about all kinds of different television personalities. Sports radio's on every day, 24 hours a day. But God forbid somebody says this is something that could happen. Yeah, Mark, you're an idiot. It's not happening. You're an ass. That's why we don't like you. There's only so many times that wrestlers can say they don't like you before you stop giving them their money. So let me repeat this so even the feeble-minded can understand it. Anytime your name is on the lips of anyone in the business reporting something, whether it be factual or it be a rumor, be thankful. If it's something horrible and terrible, then you correct it. You have the absolute power to correct it by simply going on Twitter and saying, what did AJ Styles do? Did he say, oh, the fans are idiots and you're all marks and morons? When several different things was reported about AJ Styles, including he signed a new contract with the WWE, AJ Styles simply went on Twitter and said, wow, that's news to me. Because I have not signed another contract with WWE. He has now, but back then he didn't. That's all he said. He didn't add to it, and that's why I hate the marks who do wrestling shows and blog shows and YouTube channels, because they're always idiots and they're wrong and they're stupid and they're dumb and they're trash. Why do you have to keep doing that? Do you know how many times Harvey Levin from TMZ has been completely wrong? Do people go on his show and say, that's why I hate you. Harvey Levin's an idiot, he's a moron, he's trash? No, you don't do that. Do you have any of these gossip columnists cover Hollywood, cover sports? How many times has Mike Francesa been wrong? How many times has all of these sports gurus been wrong? And the football players don't get on Twitter and say, that's why I hate these guys, they're so stupid. In the meantime, though, you don't have the balls to call out members of your actual wrestling fraternity that also have blog shows that are wrong, constantly wrong. And they're in the business. So knock it off. Because I'm telling you right now, this is reaching dangerous proportion. If wrestlers truly resent their fans, it's because you hate yourself. You hate the business you're in. You look at the fans and say, if it wasn't for them supporting this damn thing, I could be doing something meaningful with my life. Then go do it. But you taking shots at the people who put the money in the back of your pocket, you're a moron. You're an absolute moron. And if you base that on there's some people who are reporting things that aren't true, cry me a river. Do you think you're better than the President of the United States? Apparently you do. Apparently you're better than the President. Because anything that's not true, God forbid, someone says, this is a possibility. Sounds good. Sounds like it's something that you would consider doing. Helping your brother's federation by going over there and starting a feud with them sounds very reasonable, considering you're doing fuck all in the WWE. But God forbid somebody mentions it, and they're a mark and an idiot and a moron. Getting really tired of this, Mike, because this is what's going to eventually destroy wrestling. If the wrestlers continue to treat their fans like this, there's not going to be any.
Right, and look, you mentioned the President of the United States. We've just found out that this whole investigation was crap. And what was the media doing the whole time? It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. And the president was right to go on Twitter and defend himself and go over the head of the media that was obviously lying about stuff. This isn't the case here. This is a guy who's made his money and who obviously wasn't being used and all that stuff. You basically said all you're going to say about all I wanted to say about this. And look, One other thing about the final match, they wouldn't allow, is what they allowed the Usos to do. This was written for the Usos to do. And this also tells me the Usos are going nowhere, because if they were going somewhere, the Usos would have done the match and been in the match and dropped that match. You know, drop that.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, the Usos are staying in the WWE. I can guarantee they're staying in the WWE. And one final note on what you were saying before. Look, if you're a reporter and you go to inside sources that have worked for the government, and you say, "Is this true?" And they say, "Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is." Then you report it and you say, "I guess it's true because I have sources." If I go to, put it this way, if I go to an inside source that writes for the WWE, and I say, "Is it true that they're adding Asuka to the Ronda Rousey match?" And he says, "Yep, sure is. Got proof of it. No question in my mind. I know for a fact. Well, I was at the writer's meeting. It's happening." And I go on this radio show and I say, "Folks, I can promise you that's what's happening." And it doesn't happen. I didn't lie. That guy lied. That guy lied. So I understand reporters can get it wrong. But then here's what you do. I have to come on this show and not say, "I didn't lie. She is going to be in the match. You wait and see. You'll be sitting at WrestleMania and you'll see her." I'll just come on the show and say, "Look, my sources were wrong. I thought I had a really good source and they stiffed me and I'm wrong and I apologize." It's when you don't take responsibility for what you say that's the problem. But don't jump down the throat of people who are reporting on the wrestling business. If they get one thing wrong about you, just correct it. You don't have to add all this, "Oh, this is why I hate..." Well, this is why you hate what? Publicity? This is why you hate your name being bandied about among the wrestling community? Why would you hate that? Why don't you ask Zack Ryder how strong the wrestling community can be? Because Zack Ryder would have been nobody long before he is now if it wasn't for the internet and the wrestling community. They can make you or break you. And at least your name is out there. And if it's in conjunction with AEW, hey, all the better for Cody, right? All the better for their fans. All the better for the WWE fans. You're banding it about. If you want to put an end to it, you simply get on Twitter and say, "Guys, my contract's not up. I don't know who your sources are, but that's incorrect." That's all you have to do. Blame the messenger necessarily. Blame the person they got the facts from. That's all. Now, if that source tells you, if Goldust says, "I resigned," or "I don't have, my contract still has a couple years left on it, I'm not going anywhere, I don't know where you got this from," and I continue to get on this show and say, "Don't believe it," then it is my responsibility. Because now I am basically too egotistical to just say, I guess I was wrong. When you hear it from the mouth of the source, you've got to believe it. But I just think Goldust went way too far here, Mike, and I just don't think this is a good thing for the business. And a lot of wrestlers do this on a regular basis.
Right. I don't think it's a good for the business. Just like, and I'll go back to what happened with the president. They were hearing these things from these inside sources about, well, this collusion and all this stuff about the president. And as the years went by, as the time went by, all that stuff has been proven false, and those so-called inside sources have been proven false, but they kept reporting on it, and they kept saying collusion. He did do this. He did do that. He did do this. He did do that, you know. And they kept citing the same sources. And obviously,
right. Well, our job as reporters, Mike, if that's what we are, we're opinion people as well, but we also report the news. So if I find out right now, if somebody says to me, "Asuka quit, she walked out," my job is to say, "This is what I heard. My sources tell me Asuka quit." Now, if Oscar said, I didn't walk out, I didn't quit, then my job is to come back on here and say, okay, I was wrong, Oscar didn't quit. And it's no knock to me. I reported what I heard, and what I heard was wrong. But if I'm a journalist and I say, she's lying, she did quit, well, then we're getting into some weird territory. But you wrestlers have to ease up on your fan base. I don't understand the elitist attitude of a lot of professional wrestlers. I'm not saying your job's not hard. But you aren't the chosen one because you can get in a ring and pretend to have a fight with a guy or a girl, as the case may be. Any more than you are special because you can play the guitar well, or you can sing well, or you can act well, or you can dance well, or you can paint well. That doesn't make you at all special. That's just what you do. And you chose to do it, by the way. Nobody's twisting your arm. You know what that's like? It's like being in a band. Oh, I'm so tired of these idiots wearing all these stupid cut-off T-shirts and throwing up the devil horns and moshing. What are you, idiots? What are you, morons? I'm so sick of the morons. I'm so sick of the idiot. Well, you took the job. What did you think was going to happen? Wrestling is the only sport I know where the wrestlers, a good amount of the wrestlers, represent the fans. I don't get it. But it's putting my ass in a whole lot less wrestling arenas. Because I've made a conscientious decision that while I will watch it on television, I'm not putting money in the pockets of people who somehow think we're all beneath them. Well, let's see if we're beneath you when you guys are drawing, 50 people and you're working for a hot dog at the snack bar. Let's see if that happened. What happens then? It's really bizarre. And it's a plague on the sport. Anyway, in finishing up with SmackDown, let's just say this. You can't argue with the ratings, and the ratings were great. People cared about whether Kofi Kingston was going to, and they cared how. Everyone knew. See, this is one of those things we can debate about whether ahead of time what's going to happen ruins it. Well, not always. Everyone knows Kofi Kingston's going to WrestleMania to fight Daniel Bryan. We all know that. We tuned in to see how. Everyone knows when you're watching Arrow that Arrow's not dying. But we tune in to see how he gets away. These are the things, but you gotta craft it well. Also missing, and I greatly miss it, is I wanted Vince McMahon's reaction. I wanted Vince McMahon not to be a casual observer and say, that's fine, he won, he's fine. I wanted Vince McMahon to be back there with Daniel Bryan and Eric getting progressively more aggravated, saying, it's ridiculous. What the hell is going on here? And Daniel Bryan saying, this is your fault, Vince. I told you this, Vince. I told you this was going to happen, Vince. And for Vince McMahon to really do his screwed face and get upset, because I think the fans would have loved it. Vince is getting to that stage now where he's becoming that grouchy old man who says, I don't really want to show much emotion one way or the other. I'll just be, all right, well, it happened. So you're in. No, I want to see Vince be that guy who's like, God damn it, this is not what I wanted to happen. And the shit's hit the fan. So I'm sorry we didn't get that, Mike, because I think that would have added to this tremendously.
Yeah, I think it would have added it to its tremendous, and that's kind of one of the things that's going to knock this grade down just a tad bit for me when we do give our grades, But on the whole, it was a good show. The ratings show it. There were a few things here and there that kind of knocked the grade down, but it was a good show.
Yeah, overall, I do think it was okay. I thought The Miz did a really good job of being a face, and it's very hard sometimes for, like I said, I've seen The Miz be a face before, not as successfully. He's done a very good job so far. This has actually went from a fight I didn't care a damn about to one that I'm somewhat interested in. And with the stipulation of falls count anywhere, we should see something special. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, look, just to have them in the ring together and the whole nine yards, and then add the element of Randy Orton, only adds to the AJ Styles-Randy Orton match. I hope that this week AJ Styles says something along the lines of, this was my one chance to have a great last match with Kurt Angle. This was something I didn't think of as work. This was something that I was really proud of. And I went out there saying, this is going to be great. Win or lose, this is going to be my last time in the ring with Kurt Angle, and it's going to be special. And I was having the time of my life, and this idiot ruins it. And I'll never get it back because Kurt's retiring at WrestleMania. So that's it. He screwed me out of it completely. Screwed Kurt Angle too, but he screwed me as well. And that'll add that extra fuel to the fire. So I hope they go there with it instead of just saying, well, you sneak attacked me. I hope they go through this was a special match for me. I hope we see something for Asuka. Because if you don't see Asuka at WrestleMania, Asuka's gone. Now, that's not a fact. That's my opinion. But she has went from, I am the champion and I'm looking for my opponent, to, I'm not even the champion. And there's a week away from WrestleMania, and I have no opponent. And, of course, because they took away that automatic rematch clause, she can't even say, well, I'm owed a match. I'm the champion. I was the former champion. I'm owed a rematch. I'll take that rematch in the form of getting into the four-way, fatal four-way at WrestleMania. She can't even go there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's next for Asuka. I assume from her tweet, all I know is this. If I wrote the word over in my tweet, it wouldn't mean I just put somebody over. Because that's totally exposing the business. Why would I do that? To me, over means I'm done. I'm finished. I don't think that's a big stretch, Todd. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's our opinion saying it's over. I'm done. It we could be wrong on that too. And like you said, it's our opinion. But it could be the fact she's put over somebody or something, or she's done. Either way.
So what's your rating overall, Todd, this week?
I'm gonna give it an A.
Wow. So you really liked it, Todd. Todd gave it an A, not an A+, but a flat-out A. Mike, what's your thoughts?
Because of some of the things that kind of knocked it down, I'm going to go ahead and give it a B+.
Okay, so we got an A, a B+. I'm going to be the negative Nelly here. I'm going to give it a B-, only because I'm flabbergasted with the Asuka thing. I'm really disappointed with how they treated Nakamura and Rusev. And I really, really wanted Vince McMahon's reactions to Kofi Kingston going, maybe we'll still get it next week. I don't know, but I really thought this was the moment where Vince McMahon is going to do his typical what the hell just happened face and really sell Kofi. And he didn't. I think that would have added to it. But overall, folks, a pretty good show and a very highly rated show. So congratulations to the WWE. They have found a way to engage the fans, and that way is Kofi Kingston and storylines with wrestlers that matter. And it illustrates what I have told you on this radio show for 3 years. It does not matter who. As long as you pick someone and give the fans a reason to really care about them, and really get behind them and really support them and push them in the right way, this is the reaction you're going to get. 95, if not 99% of the wrestlers in that dressing room are capable of doing what Kofi's doing. It's just that you've got to give them that spot. You've got to give them that meaty storyline, that way to do it, the perfect angle that connects with the fans. If you give them that, all of these guys are pros. They can do the moves in the ring. It's not the moves in the ring that matter. It's what happens outside the ring, how you promoted them. If this happened to Sheamus and Cesaro, nobody would care. They'd be like, who cares if Sheamus is getting screwed? Who cares if Cesaro's getting screwed? The New Day have been so beloved for so long. That's why it worked, because the way you booked them in the past, you were able to use them in the present this way. Remember that the next time you trash guys like Rusev and Nakamura and guys you can't really use anymore, because you've trashed them in the past and there is no present. You may need them someday. That's why the New Day right now was able to fill this position and make it work. Because of the way you booked them. So think about that. Might be time for some new writers over in the WWE. Anyway, folks, we will see you Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a